Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram at Unique Yet Connected.
You are now listening to the 31st episode of Unique Yet Connected podcast. The theme for this episode is, do you really believe in love? And what does love look like? Hello, brilliant souls in and around the world. Nolita Kozwa Fenton is my name. Tolokaz is my clan name, and this is episode 31. A warm welcome to Unique Yet Connected podcast, where we treat our episodes as mini workshops so we can best share the wisdom of systemic family constellations. And thank you for joining our movement of translating this wisdom into a practical language that all of us can easily understand and, most importantly, implement in our daily lives. The theme for this episode is, do you really believe in love? And what does it look like? Remember, when you comment, ask questions, like and share our content and links, you help us grow together. And there wouldn't be a podcast without you, myself, Kinga, Nick, the ones who came before us, and as well as Bert Hellinger, the founder of the work that is most fulfilling for Kinga and I. And as always, Kinga is right here with me on the other side. Hi, Kings.
Hello, Noli. Thank you. Hello, dear listeners and co-editors. Yes, dear listeners, keep sharing this knowledge because it can change lives for the better. Thank you. Thank you for your huge contribution. You are our inspiration in building and opening up the theme about the laws of love and romantic relationships. Please continue to share your questions, comments, and insights on uniqueyetconnected@gmail.com and on WhatsApp 076-289-6670. Join our monthly virtual connection circle every last Tuesday evening of the month. To receive your link and the theme we're working with, look for the links on our website www.uniqueyetconnected.com or check for updates on our social at Unique Yet Connected.
For Kings, they can simply drop us a WhatsApp message so we can share the link. And our WhatsApp number is 076-289-6670. We are starting a new theme that looks at the development stages of a relationship. And we hope it will be as enriching to you as it has been for us during the development of the scripts. Take it away, Kings. It's all yours.
We will start with a quote from Tom Robbins from the book Still Life with the Woodpecker. And this quote represents what we are going to unpack in starting from this episode and also in the upcoming episodes. So here comes the quote. When two people meet and fall in love, there is a sudden rush of magic. Magic is just naturally present then. We tend to feed on that gratuitous magic without striving to make any more. One day we wake up and find that the magic is gone. We hustle to get it back, but by then it is usually too late. We have used it up. What we have to do is work like hell at the making additional magic right from the start. It is hard work. But if we can remember to do it, we greatly improve our chances of making love stay.
Yeah, what a relatable statement. What I'm hearing here is that while there is still magic, right in the midst of this list, we must remember to create additional magic to improve the chances of a lasting love. Almost all of us want the love to lasting relationships and the love to last as long as it can. I was once in a relationship where I felt the person had no concept of what it means to keep working on the relationship. And maybe the magic was already gone from the relationship. I don't know. And maybe I didn't notice, or they really thought that the magic could sustain itself. What is Tom Robbins really saying here, Kings?
What he is saying that the thinking that when you are in love, then love will automatically take care of itself and that relationships should be easy is a damaging myth. Contrary to popular belief, healthy relationships require effort. It requires us to work on ourselves and on the relationship.
We are normally scared of working on ourselves, and I feel maybe it's because of the events that are buried and we are scared to dig them up. Let's hear more on Tom Robbins.
Yeah, I don't know which one is more scary, working on ourselves or losing unnecessarily something that is very special to us.
That's a very interesting question, Kings. And maybe that is a question we should ask ourselves when we want to have lasting relationships filled with love.
Back to Tom Robbins, we normally experience romantic love, magic, like Tom Robbins said. This is especially true about our first love, the one not yet spoiled with negative experiences. Later on, we start to protect ourselves from the pain of unfulfilled happiness. One way of protecting ourselves from pain is by getting a bit or a lot disillusioned with romance. Another way to keep on running after this elusive magic of love. But as the quote said, this magic is fleeting. And even if we run to the point of total exhaustion, we don't ever be able to recreate the power of the first love of our life. So when we don't work on our concept of relationship and heal it, we are left with three unsatisfying choices. Singlehood, avoidance. Staying in a relationship that lost its spark, disillusionment. Relationship hopping in pursuit of the initial magic, dreaming.
I recognize parts of myself that have had a taste of the three unsatisfying choices. What do you mean by the concept of relationships?
You ever sat down and wrote down your wish list for a perfect relationship? Did you do the opposite list, what you don't want? These are your negative and positive concepts about relationships.
Yes, I have. And I did write a list before I met Sisa. And there's also another list that I came across on Facebook. And someone made this long list. I mean, it was humongous. You know, and everybody was just kind of like, where is this person going to find this person type of thing?
Yeah, so let's just be honest. No living person can live up to these lists. There is no way.
Yes, that's true. I know that one very well.
I would like to ask another big question. What if all that is wrong about our existing relationship is really rooted in our concepts and beliefs about love? What if these concepts and beliefs are created by the experiences of many generations who came before us, as well as by our own experiences?
I'm really starting to wonder what my concepts and beliefs about love are. I have never searched that deep, to be honest, Kings, and I've never went down into the roots of my concepts and beliefs. And yes, I can believe that the generations that came before me could have influenced my concept about love. Here's something. When I was growing up, I heard so many sayings about how men were no good and that they are dogs. Those concepts have stuck with me for the longest time, and I have never believed that men can be honest and be devoted to work on a relationship. There's been a lot about Xhosa men being cheaters, and I never wanted to be with a Xhosa man. But now that I'm with one, okay, and this was also like my being against Xhosa men was also based on my past experiences, which was my first love, who was a Xhosa man and who really hurt me so badly. And after that relationship, I like vowed never to look back. And I've done that for years up until I met Sisa, my husband. And what are you really saying about beliefs and concept is important, because I know some of us sometimes joke about these things without realizing the kind of impact they have on our relationship choices.
I am listening to you, and I find it interesting that my belief system says that dogs are loyal and love you unconditionally no matter what. And to me, it sounds like the perfect partner. So,
so you see, that's a great one, Kings. We can have totally different beliefs about the same thing. So, I didn't think about why my people even compared a horrible male with a dog.
Yeah, I don't know, obviously. In my eyes, the dogs, they protect you and look after you. So really different view.
Yes, I wonder where that perspective about dogs and men came from. That's an interesting question for another day. I've been watching a series, though, where a grandmother supports and encourages her granddaughter to be anything in life that she wants to be. Then the granddaughter gets engaged in the process of pursuing this ambition. And the grandmother flips and tells her how horrible she is. She can't be running after a man. She can't be, you know, be all excited about this. She needs to focus on her career. And it was clear that the grandmother viewed being with the in a relationship as a weakness. So the granddaughter felt bad and she dropped the man she loved. And then years later, they met when this man found her again. And they were still very much in love with each other, but she just couldn't commit because she was living up to grandma's beliefs until she realized how unfulfilled her life was with all the success she achieved. And she had to let go of her grandmother's fears and decided to live her life. And finally, they got married, and luckily the man was still available and very much in love with her. So you know how Hollywood does it. It was happily ever after. But so what I'm feeling is that I need to question what I'm feeling about this whole thing is that, and more than questioning, book a constellation session.
Just one question about the series. Has the grandmother passed away when they finally
the
got married?
She was still alive. She was alive. She had to speak to her and say, "Gran, no, I'm doing this for me." Yeah.
Because often we only feel released from a concept when the person who's very important to us and we love a lot, they pass away. And sometimes it gives us the permission to go forward. But it's actually much better that she could ask her for permission, because then there is going to be no guilt carried over with the decision. And just back to a little bit the concept, in a lot of cultures, if you marry out of line with that certain culture, then your relationship is not accepted. But what happens when you are far removed from that original culture? Like it is the case in a new country, obviously the community tries to keep up the tradition and the culture and the cultural rules, but most of the time we go down and then we look at descendants and we go down maybe five generations now, they will have a difficulty to live by the rules of the old country. I would like to take the Indian expats all over the world as an example, because I just watched the Indian matchmaking on Netflix and I found it fascinating. All the old and the new mixed together in the participants' concept about love. In the old country, there were rules about marrying someone from your ethnic group. But outside of India, finding a suitable partner with the same ethnicity can prove difficult. Usually in India, someone from the south of India and someone from the north wouldn't get married. Also, a Hindu and a Muslim will not marry. But outside of India, the original religions and ethnic groups are often put aside and forgotten, and they seemingly lose their importance. However, when a marriage of different backgrounds happens, the later generations will experience it as an unexplainable divide in the family. If it is not already experienced on the parents' level, the ones who get married, it will come up in the children's life. There is a possibility that the children won't get along and they're going to be divided. And I kind of just mentioned this example to help us understand how the concept that shape our relationship were often created long, long before we were born. And they will be affect the relationship, yet nobody can understand what is happening. Seemingly, the two people who get married have nothing in their way to stop them having a wonderful relationship. Yet somewhere in the background, there is a certain message that plays in the subconscious and can pull the relationship apart.
It can indeed play out in the relationship. You know, even just bringing it home a little bit, even here in South Africa, with all those different tribes amongst Black people. And I can say, as a person who had been married to a different tribe before, I've seen the concepts and beliefs we had about each other play out in our own home with the rest of the family. And like you said, it's not what we had about it, it's generational. You know, it comes down to our family lines. And when I first moved to Johannesburg in the 90s, I also realized that Xhosa women were an endangered species. And a lot of men have been warned about us from generations, and it keeps on playing even today. I've also seen the example you've mentioned with couples who are from different tribes having certain things that they cannot understand play out in their relationship. So I must agree with you, no matter how progressive we think we are, the messages do creep in.
As you know by now, because we talked about it quite a bit, the only way to bridge the divide is to honor equally both of the family roots we came from into the relationship. The only way that helps us move forward is when we have the full support of the ones who came before us. This is not necessarily that they have to agree to the marriage, but we have to see them as equal, and then they can support.
Yes, that is so true and making sense, Kings. I must remember that as I journey along this life. And what's intriguing is that these beliefs play out whether we like it or not, whether we are aware of them or not. Before this episode, I never thought of anything about the dog being compared to a horrible type of man. I always thought, you know, I was cool with dogs as long as they don't bite. But there was a time, though, where I was just terrified of dogs. So I'm not sure whether that came from that information, but, you know.
So about the dogs, which is a little bit like off topic of relationship. You said in Xhosa culture, the dog symbolizes the ancestors.
Oh, yes.
And to have so much honor that I know that you have in your culture towards the ancestors, and then use the dog in a derogatory manner, intrigues me. The dogs being the ancestors, and then using the dog in a negative term and relating it to someone who is worthless or you can't trust, in interesting combination. So, you know, questions in my head playing. Is it maybe that honoring of the ancestors comes from fear? Can you trust your ancestors that they are going to support you? Like we said in the previous one, that they are there to support you. Are you pleasing the ancestors out of love or fear?
Yep, Kings, that is a very big question. And yeah, I would always like you to ask that question and to always bring it back to that, because there's still a lot of that, you know, conflict in us somewhere, somehow. I think what has helped me is the systemic work. So how it happened is it helped me shift towards love. And the whole idea about ancestors was kind of heavy for me.
In the systemic work, which is the practical work of the laws of love, based on the laws of love, the ancestors are here to support us and they give us gifts. It is not you who is giving gift back to them. They are not the people we are scared of. The problem lies in us not being connected to them in the right way. All they want from you to live your life to the fullest and according to what is the best for you. You can be sure that no matter what, they are proud of you. They don't want you to carry on with the burdens or patterns or what is not serving you. And they just want to be connected to you. that you don't forget about the connection between them and you.
Yes, my favorite line. I'm always reminding myself that they want me to live my life to the fullest. I would like to just clarify something, you know, because I know some of the beliefs and even concepts that we have, even about love and the ancestors, are based on the church and then the society. So can the societal church beliefs, whatever conditioning that is out there, affect our concepts and beliefs about relationships? Where are our concepts really coming from? Are they coming from different directions, you know? Just
yes, the church and society, they definitely, yes, they affect and shape our concept. They are part of our cultural background and definitely will alter the concept. Where are the concepts in our life come from? If I'm hearing right, this is what you're asking. So most of the other therapists say they come from our childhood, but the systemic work goes beyond that. It is more holistic. Yes, we have our own experiences and we create concepts according to them. But in addition to this, we also have our ancestors' concepts and experiences, and they will come into play in our relationship. In the next episode, we will start to talk about the development stages of our relationships and how they link in with our inner child development stages. It is very important to understand that when you do inner child healing, your inner child can grow up in a safe place and all the arrested emotion from childhood get released and healed. A new strength becomes available for you that you can utilize in your relationship. Emotionally, you are stable. You don't need to take from the other person to be stable. The stability is in you. You embody trust. You embody being worthy. You embody hope. You embody creativity. So you don't have to try to take them from the outside anymore. We are going to start to work with this in the next episode. But in this episode, we ended up talking more about the beliefs and concepts about relationships. Do you know that it is scientifically proven that trauma travels down through generation, not just in the family psyche, but even in our genetic material? It's not all lost. It doesn't mean that just because you are 60 years old, you shouldn't go into a relationship. You can fasten it by doing the work. So that is the good thing. The beauty with the inner child and the constellation work is that the results are almost instant. Often you see the results in you instantly. And sometimes if you don't see them in yourself, look around in your family and in your partner and might just find the result there.
So Kings, this means we carry our ancestors' information about relationships.
Yes, the information coming down in our genes is coding our lives.
These are the things we are not even aware of when we enter relationships. Like, we don't ask what drives you, what drives your family system, or, you know, or what's coded in your family system. So, okay, I get it.
Yes, in the systemic work, we get to look into the origin. For example, if someone is hesitant to get engaged, to get married, we can have a look why. I would put in the client resistance and marriage and see where it takes on. Who and where is this resistance belong to?
Mm-hmm. So I just had a revelation regarding my paternal grandmother. She didn't believe in marriage. And I just got insight about the lives of her children, whom, yeah, some of them got married, didn't stay, you know, got divorced. Others, you know, a lot of stuff happened there. So yeah, there must have been something there. And on my mother's side, there's something again. My great-grandfather, my mom's grandfather, didn't want her daughter to get married, my grandmother. He left that message. And I mean, when she passed away, and my grandmother was only 9 years old when she passed away. And my grandmother passed in 2021. And even at my grandmother's funeral, one of the relatives was like, her father didn't want her to get married. Can you imagine? It was there, still there.
Can you imagine if it would have happened? You would not be here if she would have followed what was the request. So also I would like you to imagine in a relationship where two people get together and they fall in love. One comes from a family system where the belief is that when you really love someone, you get married, you get bonded, you commit. But in the other system, there is a belief that marriage is not good and you are better off if you don't get married. These two people who are so in love and get to a stage where the marriage should be happening or shouldn't, depending on their belief system, one says it should, the other says it shouldn't. If the man wants to get married, what is the man going to feel? That this woman doesn't love me. She doesn't want to get committed. She doesn't want to get married to him. You show your love for me when you want to get married to me. What will the woman feel? That I am being pressured and I am not ready. If this woman would come to a consolation with this problem, we could look into what is in her system that makes her be so against marriage. What are her real feelings towards marriage? Where do the other feelings come from? But we can also check in with the man if he is the one who wants to do a constellation. Where does the idea that marriage and love equal each other coming from? Where is it written that you only show love to someone by getting married? If they would both come to the workshop, and do you want to do a constellation? We can check what is happening between the two of them. And maybe the listeners, if it's your first episode, we work with the so-called morphogenic field. And in that field, we would put in the man, the woman, and marriage and see how they relate to each other. What happens? I have seen a couple who both had to honor their previous partners before they could proceed into getting married. So the block can come from our lives or from our ancestors' lives.
Wow. So what just came up for me now about my ancestors and marriage, could there be something there?
Yeah, I would say this is not yours because you got married twice. Bravely you went there, yes. Remember, we are not the only ones who pick up things in the system. Sibling, cousins, carry a shared load. That is why being an only child is always difficult. In your case, with the marriage, I would say it is more your brother who carries the pattern of not wanting to get married from your grandmother. But obviously, we don't know where it is coming from originally. The pattern often skips a generation. The grandmother and the granddaughter often more alike than the daughter ever was. This pattern doesn't seem to be repeating itself in you. And I wouldn't say that this is something that is blocking your life.
Oh, thank you. So this has been another eye-opening episode for me. And thank you so much, Kings, for opening up the work. Dear listener, we are looking forward to hearing your comments, questions, and insights. Please keep them coming, especially with this new series we're starting on relationships and marriage and romantic things and all things lovely. And Kinga, what should we expect in the next episode?
In the next episode, as we promised, we will start to look into the development stages, and we start with the first development stage of a relationship, the codependent stage. If you feel like, dear listener, you are experiencing limiting patterns or relationship issues and would like to have an individual session, or would like to come to one of our workshops, book a family consultation session with us on our website, www.uniqueyetconnected.com, or on our socials, Facebook or Instagram. Our handle on both platforms is @uniqueyetconnected.
And thank you for listening to our 31st episode. And another big thank you to Nick Mons from That Guy Productions for making us sound fabulous and on point. Always and always. 31 episode, we're still here with him. And our 32nd episode is in 2 weeks' time from now. Tune in on the 1st of October from 10 a.m. South African Standard Time. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Like our pages, engage with us on Facebook or Instagram. Our handle is @uniqueyetconnected, and unique spelled YOUNIQUE. Stay unique, stay connected, and remember, you are one of a kind, and we can only create a really meaningful podcast together. And siyabulela, khosono, kamagu, till the next episode. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. See you, Bella. Bye.